Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this act, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
The 49ers just signed Brandon Ayuk to an extension. Are they now on the verge of signing Trent Williams to a renegotiated deal? We'll discuss that and more next on the Coach's Meeting. What's up? Good afternoon. That's the Coach. I'm Grant Cohn. Welcome to the Coach's Meeting. There was big news yesterday. There could be big news again any minute because we need to know what's going on with Trent Williams. But before we get to Trent, we want to look back. Before we move on to the next thing, we were talking about Brandon Ayuk really for like almost 5 months, since April. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that he ended up getting essentially the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal. $30 million a year, $76, $77 million guaranteed. He wanted it in April. The Niners said, no, absolutely not. Who do you think you are? And then he got it in late August. Did the Niners flex their leverage here? Did Ayuk cave at the last minute, or did the 49ers waste everyone's time?
I mean, who usually wants to go over the last moments of the game? The people that won or the people that lost? The people that lost. Exactly. Yeah. For what it's worth, the Niners could have kept their mouth shut. They could have done what they've been doing, being calculated with the information that they give out, not saying anything at all. And being a regular organization in situations like this, just purely being comfortable with speculation, right? Because they know the truth. But that's not what they did. What they did is they made sure that as soon as the news dropped of the contract, they made sure to put out that this deal was not a new deal. This is a deal that always had been out there, and that this was basically Brandon Ayuk coming back to terms that had already been set for him, basically trying to make it seem as though that Brandon Ayuk was being dictated to. And nobody really cared about that at the moment until they did it, until they made it a thing. So, I mean, I hit dog on holler, man. Yeah, they bended the knee and they're showing it.
Yeah. I mean, it just seems really funny. Like, I've seen some timelines on Twitter of what happened. And depending on the content creator, maybe there's a different slant to the timeline. But to me, the timeline's pretty clear. Amon-Ra St. Brown gets his extension from Detroit in mid-April before the draft. Detroit gets that done. Whatever the 49ers had offered, Ayuk was no longer feasible, relevant, realistic. He says, I want the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal. TJ Houshmandzadeh says he would take the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal. That's Brandon's like personal coach. And the Niners really dragged their feet for months. They say absolutely not, and try to create all these reasons why he's not worth it. And Amon-Ra St. Brown's had more targets. And then at the very end, they're like, all right, fine. You know what? You're right. You are worth the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal. Like, I don't understand the negotiating tactic there. Low ball first, cave in at the end, give the guy everything he wants. Like, seems like they did that last year with Nick Bosa. And I don't understand. Like, if you're going to wait till the very end, I want to see some type of a win.
I agree with you 100%. And forgive me. And for context, Grant hates it when I look at my phone while we're going through a show.
So however, I figured it's serious.
It is serious. Yeah. What I wanted to do is I wanted to find the tweet of when, here it is, that report from TJ Houshmandzadeh got dropped on 957 The Game, and that was on the 8th of August.
Okay.
Okay. So the
I think he had been on 957 The Game in June as well.
Exactly.
Saying like, why is this taking so long? Brandon would take the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal. And I think the way it was reported was like the Niners and Ayuk both thought they were like going to be getting a deal done until that Amon-Ra St. Brown deal came out. And then Ayuk said, well, hey, fair is fair. I want that too. And I think the Niners felt like, no, not fair. We were coming close to an agreement and the market changes and you want us to shift with the market? Like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then they ultimately did.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that 100%. Like, the Niners, the biggest thing that the Niners, the biggest sin that they could that they have to own during this entire negotiation is just them sitting on their hands. I really don't know what they were waiting for. No. At what point did you believe that the market was going to go down? Right? Like, what deal? After the Jalen Waddle deal, that's something that would have made me hop on BA right away to try to make a deal happen. I mean, that was another misnomer that they missed. I don't understand their tactics. Like, what is your structure going into this? You know, it seems very one note, as if like it is coming from one person. It doesn't seem as though that there's a lot of hands in the pot trying to make this happen.
You know, as this whole thing unfolded over the last few months, there were a lot of people had different viewpoints on it. And I kept hearing one beat writer say that, you know, the Niners have all the leverage and they don't have to give Brandon Ayuk what he wants because they have the fifth year option and the franchise tag and all this leverage. Then why they give him the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal at the very end? I mean, what happened to that leverage that they supposedly had? Why didn't they use it?
I don't know. I think, and this is, it's worse. Well, not, I don't want to use the word worse, but it's more lucrative than the Amon-Ra St. Brown deal. He gets more guaranteed money, especially up front. Brandon Ayuk is due to make $47 million before April 2025. Like, so they're front loading this entire deal right now. So I feel like the real question is that once you guys get in front of Kyle and John, one is, why did it take so long? And then two is, what is it about the structure of the deal now is what pulled the trigger versus the structure of the deal in months past throughout the season? Because one thing we do know is that even if the Niners are quick to put out the report that the deal hadn't changed since the 10th of August. All right, that's cool. But you can't deny the fact that you got started at 24. So go ahead.
Also, Adam Schefter put out the 10th, and then Ayuk's agent said that's factually incorrect. And then Schefter went back and edited his tweet to say the 12th. So yeah, there's like some, it's not exactly clear when the Niners made their last offer, but like, why did it wait? Why'd you have to wait until the 12th? Why did it have to go? What did you gain by waiting until the 12th? You could have been like Detroit. Detroit just got it done. And what did they gain from just getting it done? Amon-Ra St. Brown was at OTAs and minicamp and training camp, and he's probably in line to have another monster year. Meanwhile, Ayuk is preparing for the season in a new way that last year when he had his all-pro season, he was there for, you know, the whole
season. And he looked
amazing.
And yeah. and the indicator of that was the amazing camp that he had, which he didn't have this year. So, I mean, we were on our show yesterday and I pushed back big time. You gave me the over under on BA's performance and I was bullish. But when you do look at it, I mean, it's concerning. You have to it's time for us to move on to the next situation. And we already got him under contract now. Now it's, can we keep him healthy? How are they going to roll him out? And is he going to be effective? You know, so, you know, the story with Brandon Ayuk is far from over. I mean, we got him in the building now. Now we just got to see if he's still Brandon Ayuk. And I know that sounds crazy, not from a talent standpoint, but you can't just flip the switch. Nick Bosa couldn't flip the switch.
Thank you. That's exactly what I was going to say. Like, we should have learned about this last year. Clearly, training camp has value. And if you don't believe it, just look at Nick Bosa, defensive player of the year, someone that no one would ever question, like whether he can get himself into shape. He's always in six. He always has 6% body fat. He always looks like the most, you know, in shape person on the team. But that's not exactly all it requires to be a great football player. You actually have to be out there going through the practices. And when he didn't last year, he had 3 sacks for the first 8 games. And then after that, he seemed like he finally got in his groove and was Nick Bosa again, but took him half a season to get there without a training camp. So what are your expectations for Ayuk this season in terms of his role in the offense and maybe some statistics?
Well, he had 1,300 last year. What did he catch, 70 balls last year? 75 balls?
Yeah.
75 balls. Let's call it 14 for the year. He throttled down near the end of the year. I would say he still gets a bill. I'd say Brandon still gets 1,000. I'd give him 8 touchdowns, 60 balls.
I feel like early on in the season, he's going to have a slow, he's going to have some games where he doesn't get a lot of targets or he's not as efficient as he was in the past. I mean, he was averaging almost 18 yards a catch on 5 catches a game. Not a lot of guys can do that. And I don't know if he's going to be able to do that right away. I also wonder if he's going to be like an integral part of the offense early on, or if they're going to say like, you know what? He hasn't been here. We don't want him to pull a hamstring. We don't need him running like playing 70 snaps a game. Like, let's slowly build up his playing time, like that kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, you would be able to roll him out if Ricky Persaud was healthy. I mean, you know, there's that. So,
or Juwan Jennings.
Or Juwan Jennings was healthy. That's the other thing.
Yeah.
They need him back in the worst way because they're banged up. Yeah. They're nicked up. You know, so right now you're going to have to be careful with Brandon Ayuk, but at the same time, it's like one of those situations where it's like, think about it like as in like basketball, where you know the famous nights where it's like Kobe's hurt or Jordan's hurt, and it's like, you know what, we're gonna get him out there for like maybe 10 minutes, all right, just to get him a good lather, then sit him down, and then all of a sudden you guys are down by 5 and he's up to 25 minutes and it's just like, fuck it, let him play, we gotta win. And I feel like BA will get into that situation where, in theory, they're going to want to ramp him up the right way, right? Yeah. They're going to want to be calm with him.
Yeah.
But it's going to be fourth and whatever. The Jets week one, and it's going to be like, dude, get out there. He's full go. He's playing. So,
but here's what's crazy for him, though. Like, week one, you haven't practiced at all this offseason. You're going against Sauce Gardner.
One of the perennial corner in the league right now.
From Kyle Shanahan's perspective, like if I were him, I wouldn't necessarily be building my game plan around 11.
But Grant, you do know that this is the Niner way is the toxic way.
Oh,
you do understand that they will sit there prim and pretty and expect him to be a $30 million player day one.
Oh, yeah.
They will. Yeah. Like,
and if he's not, it's on him.
Exactly. Like, there is a, we're glad you're here. BA's going to do great. We're amazed that, you know, we got it done in the 11th hour. But you would be a fool to think that there is not a whole conversation where there is angst looking at every step in every catch, in every route for the hell that BA put up about getting this money. That's just human. That's human. You know what I'm saying? Like, for all that happened throughout the offseason, there is a performative expectation out of him where it's like, you know what? You get no more cut cards. Like, this is like, it is straight services rendered with you. Results, like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. And what's crazy with him too, it's like, after what he's done and how he's kind of like rubbed some fans the wrong way and really like,
there's not a lot of sympathetic guys out there.
How much he's worth. Like, he's made everyone have to like think about how much is he worth? $30 million. All right, man. Well, like, I'm looking at his game log last year. He can't have more games where he had like, this was okay. December 17th against the Cardinals, he had 3 catches for 37 yards. It can't happen. It can't happen. You're making too much money. Or we're looking at Seattle, 2 catches for 50 yards and a touchdown. Now, the last play was a touchdown to win the game, but he also had a game against Jacksonville where he had 3 catches for 55 yards and a touchdown. You know what I mean? Minnesota, 5 catches for 57 yards and no touchdowns. Cleveland, 4 catches on 10 targets for 76 yards and no touchdowns. And you also have to do something in the playoffs for the first time.
Yeah. I mean, and you know what? I bet dollars to donuts, bro. Every one of those games, if we sat back and like stretched them out and looked at context, we could make so many excuses for Brandon Ayuk as to why he came out those numbers, right? Mm-hmm. That would not be his fault. But the facts are, is that Brandon doesn't even get that benefit of the doubt anymore. When you make $30 million a year as a receiver in the league, you are getting paid top 5 money, my man. Like, you don't get the droppies, the drop spells. Remember when Brandon Ayuk just has drop spells sometimes? Mm-hmm. Like, just kind of drops the ball, you know, just a little weird. Like, hey, that wasn't characteristic of Brandon. You know, fade route hits him in the face up the seam last year. Yo, that's kind of weird, Brandon. What was that, the Cleveland game that he dropped that ball?
Yep.
I'm going to tell you, man, there are going to be
so
no fans
much more scrutiny on this guy
that have no appetite for that crap. And there's going to be nobody that can save him. So he created this. He better be ready to deal with it.
I mean, Packers game last year, divisional playoffs, 3 catches, 32 yards. Super Bowl, 3 catches, 49 yards. That was his last.
You know, there's a whole flip side to this that goes into another topic, though.
Oh, Kyle.
Yes.
We'll talk about that soon. I want to talk. Let's tease. I like that. Let's tease that.
You like that?
Into Trent Williams, the star of the show. He's really the biggest story with the Niners right now. It's like, you got Brandon Ayuk back. Great. You know what? You have a ton of weapons. You don't have a ton of good offensive linemen. You got one, and he's not here right now, and he seems to be threatening retirement. And he doesn't have to come back and play. So do you think the 49ers will do what they did with Ayuk, take a hard line, and then right at the last minute, make the guy's dreams come true?
I don't think they even towed the hard line with Trent. I think that they're just going to pay him. They have to. And not for nothing, even though Trent hasn't, like, kind of, we don't know what the situation has been between Trent and the 49ers. There could have been offers where Trent has turned them down and said no. We don't know because they're not talking. But what we do know is that without the talking, if you just look at the positioning of what's going on, Trent's situation is a little bit more egregious than Brandon's. Like, Trent's smack dab in the middle of a deal. Like, he's nowhere near the end of his original deal. He just literally picked up and decided, I want more money. And not only do I want more money, I want it guaranteed. And I feel like he's using his leverage in the position of the career, in the position of his career that he's in. And the Niners allowed him to do it. Again, this goes back to the Niners. What are we doing in the first round? What are we doing? We're drafting Ricky Pearsall in the first round. That's what we're doing, all right? While Kingsley Suamate and Rosengarten are sitting right there in the first round for us to be able to finally get a replacement for Trent, all right? And dare I say, get a right tackle in his stead while Trent is there. We could actually make Trent dig his own grave at gunpoint. Play with your own replacement. Yeah. But we allowed Trent to sit back and not only see that, but understand that they missed an opportunity because there's nobody that they can replace him with on our roster. But for effect, just to show how much of a blind spot this was, they paid Christian, who was in the same situation, who was in a deal, and he held out. And for effect, not only did they pay him, they hand delivered it to him during his wedding. Like, come on. The optics cannot be any more tone deaf, Grant.
Yeah.
So really, the Niners almost deserve this situation if you look at it from just a straight business situation. But for those of you who demonized Brandon Ayuk for wanting his money in a selfish fashion, there's no way that you can't think Trent is being selfish.
Yeah, I'm not really concerned about, yeah, he's being selfish. I'm just concerned about predicting the future here. And it seems like if the Niners went to all that trouble to like have leverage over Ayuk, you know, they drafted Ricky Pearsall. They threatened to fine him if he didn't come to practice the last few days. And after all that, waiting all this time, they still gave him exactly what he wanted. Like, I think Trent's getting what he wants. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to get exactly what he wants. I think they've made it real clear that they're not going to let these business standoffs bleed into actual games and affect wins and losses. And I think that they're just going to have to figure out a way to make it not look like they lost. Like, that's what they did with Ayuk, right? They completely capitulated, but at the very last minute, they got Schefter to be like, well, Ayuk gave in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, so
how are they gonna make it look like Trent gave in? Well, actually, Trent, you know, he didn't feel like playing golf anymore, so he came back to the team. Of course, the Niners gave him everything he wanted, but
that's exactly what's going to happen, Grant. Trent's going to get paid exactly what he wants. He's going to get paid guaranteed money. The only thing is, and this is kind of what's crazy, and I think Mew and I talked about this before, is that this just goes to show you how Trent pounced on the situation and how politically he played this. I'm old enough to remember when Trent Williams, right after the Super Bowl loss, was asked explicitly whether or not he was thinking about retirement after this season. And he squashed all doubt, flat out said, no, I'm coming back. I'll always be here as long as the Niners will have me here. I love playing here. And then all of a sudden, he's holding out and he wants guaranteed money. Like, just months ago, before this holdout, he had just said, hey, no, I'm down. I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. I want to be here. And as soon as he saw when the opportunity was ripe, when the Niners were so fixated on this Brandon Ayuk situation, he took advantage. He owned his leverage. That part you can't be mad at him about. I mean, he's an independent contractor. It is what it is. And then on top of it, if you see how these agents look at the salary cap, they look at a salary cap as somebody didn't do their job if a team starts a season with salary cap space. That's the way agents look at teams, right? Like, if this team who just came out of a Super Bowl is sitting at $50 million guaranteed under the cap, and you guys are sitting here hemming and hawing about what you should get paid, you guys should be fired. Agents should be fired. So Trent is looking at that cap space like, you know what, guys? Worry about putting together a team when I'm gone. I need that. I need that right now. And the fact that you pay Christian. So, you want to pay people now? How about you pay me?
Yeah, I mean, again, like, I think all the Niners can do is try to make it seem like they're not creating a precedent. But really, the last few players have pretty much just named their price. Christian, Bosa, Ayuk. They're like, this is what we want. And the Niners are like, okay, eventually, with all of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they may make it seem like they're negotiating and playing hardball, but eventually they just give in. It's like what they do is they make an offer, like, this is our offer. It's really low ball. And then every day they offer a dollar more. It's like, can we just speed this up? I know where you're going. We all know where you're going. Can we just get there now? And then they come out and in these press conferences, like, we have no idea why this is taking so long. We just don't get it.
I feel like it comes off really childish, honestly. It feels like the organization doesn't have like emotional intelligence. They fly off at the handle and they say, you know, hey, Brandon, you're getting paid $24 million. And it's like, all right, well, if I'm getting paid $24 million, then get me out of here. And it's like, oh, well, you know, you don't need to get out of here. And it's just like, well, wait a minute. You know, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. I think Brandon Ayuk said it at the time when he said it. I really took it as like an arrogant remark. But now that he got paid exactly what I think he wanted, it was the perfect time to say it. And he said, you can't buy a Lambo if you ain't got Lambo money. Like, and he knew exactly what he was going to get paid. Like, and I don't understand the standoff from the organization. I think the biggest question for the organization is when did you believe that you had to come up off $24 million? And who's final, since you guys did it all, whose decision was it to go to 30 and make Brandon capitulate to $30 million?
Great question. I have theories. To me, the lowball initial offer and all like the drawn out process, I'm guessing, is Parag.
Okay.
Because Parag Marate is still very powerful in this organization, and he must have a job, and he must want to justify keeping it. So okay. Instead of just writing whatever, you know, giving that player whatever he wants as soon as he wants it, Parag steps in and does his thing and pisses the player off for months. And then ultimately has no power, can't make a decision. Kyle Shanahan mm-hmm. comes in at the very, very end and says, I want my star player. Pay him what he needs. I gave you 4 months to save us some money. You couldn't do it. And it seems like that's what happened the last 2, 3, 4 negotiations with Parag. And I'm starting to wonder if he should just focus on Leeds United.
Mm. So basically, the $30 million is Kyle then. Kyle is the one who said, pay him his market worth, pay him the 30.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, like, I'm under pressure to win a Super Bowl. Ricky Pearsall's hurt. I can't trade this guy for another wide receiver. I need him. I'm making a football decision, not a business decision. It's my team.
All right, but wouldn't the business decision be to chop off Parag's decision making as early as possible, because his decision making doesn't draw syntax with the league, right? Like, mm-hmm. all right, you want to pay him this lowest possible for the organization. We get that. Every organization wants to do that. But at what point do you map your process to real time and understand when there's a time to strike? That's my problem with the Niners. It's like, all right, you got your SOP. Like, this is the way you want to do these things. That's okay. But at what point do you marry this shit to reality, where it's like, all right, we want to underpay him, but the draft is coming. We want to underpay him, but other people are getting paid. The market that he's in is only going up. So at what point did the Niners, what did they think they were going to do? You know what I mean? Like, that's what I don't understand. How do we see this and they don't see this? That's my question. Can you ask that?
I just think it's funny. We spent a whole offseason getting told about their leverage, when all it took Ayuk to get what he wanted was to wait.
Wait.
All you had to do was wait. And they said, like, we hope he'll be at practice. Like, oh, well, I'm not. And it took two practices. For them to be like, all right, man, enough is enough. This is crazy. What do you want? It's like, you know what I want. I'm just waiting for you to give it to me. Just like Bosa waited. Just like Brock's going to wait. Like, the era of them playing hardball and getting players to agree to team-friendly deals are freaking over. And all they're doing is wasting time and pissing people off. They really got to update that. And it's like, are you going to do it to Trent? Like, why don't you just give him what he wants today? What are you waiting for? You know you're going to give it to him eventually. It's going to be today or next week or week 3. Well, just get over with, man. Stop pretending like you are like Donald Trump in the 80s and you're like mastering the art of the deal. You're not.
I don't understand. I mean, he did. I feel like it would help the team a hell of a lot more if they just got the deals done. You know, I don't
get it done.
I don't understand. why Brandon Ayuk had to miss training camp if this deal was done on. So wait a minute. So
like not only did they not save money by waiting on Brandon, it cost them money, millions of dollars a year.
So was Brandon accruing fines? Let me ask you this. Was Brandon accruing fines during training camp?
I don't know.
Okay.
If he was holding in, I think the answer is no. And I think they would have been fining him the last 2 days since the 53-man roster came out.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
But I'm sure they'll just give the fines back in his new contract. Like, here's an $80,000 bonus that covers those things. Thanks.
I just don't understand how the Niners, this is what they're trying to get us to believe. They want us to believe that they offered this contract 20 days ago. Okay. Mm-hmm. And throughout that time for 20 days with this contract, they have not touched it. It's been out there waiting for Brandon. And that Brandon has been the guy who's been like, you know what? I just don't want to practice.
Right.
I don't want to play. You know what? I'll get at you guys right to the point of I'm gonna, when I have to start paying money. So when it gets to the point where I got to start paying money, then I'll take your deal. Is that what they want us to believe?
Sure. But even if that's like the case and Brandon waited an extra 16 days to, or 17 days just to see if the Niners would up their offer, like I would too. Because you upped your offer for Nick Bosa. Like, that's just business, man. Like, don't act like he's a malingerer who doesn't want to work, because we know that's not the case.
But
the real issue here is, why did it take until August 12th for you to make this freaking offer when the Detroit made it for Amon-Ra in mid-April? Like, again, what do those 4 months gain you? Because we know what it cost you.
That's anyway. The point, though, Grant. The point is that the reason why it took... The only incentive that Brandon Ayuk has to wait all of that time is because the Niners don't want to admit the fact of how many times they upped the offer and he said no. There's probably a lot of different contract offers that they probably sent to him. 24 to 30 million is a long way. That's a long way. There's a lot of offers between that 24, but in that $6 million. And
well, look, go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go.
I'm going to do something shameless in a minute. So finish your thought.
No, shameful. Go.
I think now is a good time to give away a signed Brandon Ayuk jersey. I've been holding this one for a while, but I realized that Niner fans weren't so keen on it because of what Brandon's been up to. But hey, he's back. He's a Niner. You love him. Here's a Brandon Ayuk signed jersey I'm giving away. How do you get it? Oh, it's easy. Download the Sleeper app. Use promo code CONE, C-O-H-N. They track people who use that. And if you find a way to use that, you could win this. And you know what? There could be four people who enter the thing. And this is worth hundreds of dollars. Brandon Ayuk actually signed it himself. This is for the Sleeper app and the Sleeper people who, sponsor this show. So let's make some Sleeper picks. Shall we?
Let's make
NFL,
the Sleeper
of course.
Picks.
All right. Let's check out what the Niners got cooking. McCaffrey, Kittle, Purdy, Moody. How about Ayuk? How about Ayuk? Receiving yards. Is he there? Hold on. I want to know. No.
No. They haven't updated yet.
It's too much. Okay. Let's just do what we got then. Let's do what we got. McCaffrey. Let's do Kittle. 49.5 receiving yards. Week 1. George Kittle.
As we're doing over under.
Yep.
Over.
Kittle's such
a linebacker.
Right?
So don't really do their thing.
They don't do the thing?
Mm-mm.
Last year, week 1, Kittle had 3 catches for 19 yards. Pittsburgh. Week 2, he had 3 catches for 30 yards against the Rams.
You know why, though? If you remember, the first part of the season last year was the CMC show. It was everything was ran through CMC. Like his usage rate was through the roof. I don't think that's going to be the case this year.
You don't think they're gonna try to pace him? You don't think they're gonna try to pace him to the playoffs?
Hell Kittle? Yeah.
Are they gonna pace Kittle?
No.
But Ayuk isn't quite in football shape. They might have to go to Kittle in this one.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. I'm gonna go over.
Okay, I like that. You talked me into it. McCaffrey, 76.5 rushing yards, more or less. Or rushing touchdowns. I feel like that's an easy one. He almost always gets a rushing touchdown.
Rushing touchdown.
I like that. Yeah, give me
He's
that.
He's addicted to those.
They always give him all the chippies. Unless they're going to start giving him to Jordan Mason, which I don't expect them to do because Christian's not that generous. Sorry, Christian. Jordan, yeah. Jake Moody, 1.5 field goals made.
Yeah, this is going to be I think this is going to be a defensive game. So I'd say yes.
I agree with that. Breece Hall, 62.5 rushing yards against the 49ers. He's good.
I'd say yes.
He's good. Aaron Rodgers, 231.5 passing yards. No. I don't want to do that. How about will he throw a pick, Rodgers?
Yes.
Garrett Wilson, 68.5 receiving yards, more or less.
More.
Ooh, against this against this.
Oh no, no, less. Yeah, against our secondary. We're not mid anymore. Less.
Do you think they put Xavarius Ward on him all game?
They should. Yeah.
I mean, if Sauce Gardner is going to follow Ayuk.
See, that's the thing that's crazy. You know, we don't travel corners. I want to see what Sorensen's going to do with the defense this year and see if we do stuff like that, if we're going to travel corners this year. I'm really excited to see the simulated pressures too.
Me too. I'm putting $10 on it to win a possibly 186 because I got how many picks I got? 6 sleeper picks. And we're bullish on Kittle's yards, McCaffrey's rushing touchdowns, Moody's field goals made, Breece Hall's rushing yards, Aaron Rodgers' interceptions, and we think the Niners are going to keep Garrett Wilson in check, and it's going to be a defensive-heavy performance. Again, if you want to play, use promo code CONE, get the deposit match on your first deposit up to $100. But most importantly, your favorite player on the 49ers, you always loved him. You never said anything bad about him. Brandon Ayuk, he's back on the team. You can have his jersey signed. You can be his number one fan.
All right. I would kill if Maryland let us do the bet of the betting. We don't, you know, we can't do the sports betting online.
Why do they do you like that?
It's the weirdest crap ever, bro. I don't get it. But I really would love to play on the sleeper app.
You know what you need to do? You need to write a strongly worded letter to your congressman.
Yeah. He needs to hear from his constituents.
Tell him they're concerned.
Yeah, yeah, to it, mate. Yeah, yeah. Sir. Sleeper.
Yeah.
You dumbass. Come on.
Yeah, let's get it done. All right, here. We're talking about we talked earlier about the pressure that Brandon Ayuk is going to be under now, that and the scrutiny that he's making all this money. Well, what about Kyle Shanahan, too? You got one wide receiver making $30 million, the other wide receiver making $24 million, quarterback in a contract year. Your offense just ranked 32nd out of 32 teams in passing attempts last season. I mean, if he still has the number one offense, he can do it however he wants. But is he also under pressure to, like, pass more this year?
Yeah, he's got, yes. In certain aspects, paying Deebo Samuel at the time of paying him, right, we got to understand, like, Deebo didn't have a 1,300-yard or 1,400-yard passing receiving yard year. Deebo's claim to fame was the fact that he was like a wide back. That's what put him in the position of, you know, it's time to start paying him serious money. And him getting paid $24 million a year at the time, up into 28, I believe he's getting paid 28.6 this year, was for a myriad of reasons, not just him being a receiver, right? It was, you know, what he does in the return game, what he does on the ground by that out of the backfield, and just all of the different weapons that, you know, would replicate why he gets that type of money. Brandon Ayuk is purely a receiver, and I don't think anybody's going to be thinking about that $30 million watching BA stock block somebody on a screen. They're going to want to see him run routes. They're going to want to see him get open versus the best corners, like a Garrett Wilson. They're going to want to watch B.A. be the guy in the room that gets the Justin Jefferson rep, that gets the Jamar Chase rep. And you know what that rep is? That's the everybody in the building knows you're getting it. Go up and go get it. It ain't no route. It's a fade. Go get it. And you got to be just the alpha. And that's what you're going to need out of Brandon Ayuk. And also, it's going to be a lot of positions where if the running game isn't working, we're not going to be looking to see Kyle put facets of the run game together, meaning that he starts throwing short intermediate passes. No, if Brandon Ayuk is on the field, we're going to want to see him win with intermediate routes. It's going to put a lot of pressure on Kyle, and in a lot of different respects, it's going to put a lot of pressure on Brock. You know, so when you pay guys the way you have on our team, especially on offense, the offense in a certain way, whether you want to or not, it becomes a little bit predictable. But that's just the price of paying. That's the price of paying playing the game. Like, you pay a guy $30 million, everybody knows he's getting the ball.
Yeah.
Kyle's got to get him the ball now. Forget your scheme. It's going to be now, it's going to be get him the ball.
Yeah, it's an interesting season. Like, Christian just got paid. He got his guarantees. He's been injured all offseason. He's had a recurring calf injury. And it's like, they've even said they want to run the ball with him less, maybe pass to him a little bit more. But like, so there's that backdrop, but there's also the fact that Purdy's entering a contract year and you're trying to find out how much is he really worth? Because no one really knows yet. The Niners don't know. We don't know. And it would be informative if we could see him pass more. If we could see him be the quarterback of an offense that isn't last in the league in pass attempts. Because once he's making $60 million a year, it's not going to be like that anymore. So if they can sort of pass more, put more on Purdy's plate, take some off of McCaffrey's, what does that look like? And that will help the Niners decide how much to offer Purdy next year. I can't hear you.
I mean, I'm sorry. I coughed and muted myself. It seems like an unavoidable situation, though, Grant. Honestly, right now, the Niners have been they've been winning and they've been doing well as a team, but it's been by the overbearing hand of Kyle. Now the money dictates how the Niners are going to win, right? You know, with Brock getting paid now, you know, you can't have Christian around. Like, you know, Trent is on his way out. You know, you can't pay a tight end what you're paying George. And you're going to need it a lot. You're going to need a lot more practitioners around Brock to be able to help him out. And there's only going to be one to two guys that you can actually give that type of money to. So I think the fans know. The fans know that we've had an unrealistic experience in the NFL. Like, would you think that fans understand that we're not a usual team, that we're an unusual team? Do you think they didn't know that they know that?
I think they know that.
Honestly, do you think fans think that what happens with us is normal across the league, or that they truly understand that we're in a point of time where we have to take advantage of this because there is a cliff we will fall off?
Yeah, I think fans are beginning to understand that the Niners have this particularly unique Super Bowl window that has to do with Brock not getting paid. And eventually he's going to go from being like the cheapest player on the team to the most expensive player on the team. And that's going to upend everything. And I think the whole team, the whole fan base, locker room understands that this is sort of,
this is it.
Maybe this is it. Maybe next year too. These last 2 years. Yeah.
These last 2 years are pretty much it. And if you think about it, just by the time alone, it would have been 10 years. It's going to be 10 years in 2 years. So do we deserve to be where we are right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's take some super chats. Hero Winchester says, Grant hating when coach is on his phone while playing a round of golf yesterday on stream. LOL. Also Grant's face when Jesse showed the picture. What picture?
Bro, that was crazy. You will just don't even commit it to memory. Whatever. Stop trying to think about it on air. We'll talk about it later. Yeah.
Jody Moore says, hey guys, Lynch seems astute at his job. This is malpractice. Something else has to be up. Do you think it got personal?
Business is always personal.
Yeah, man. I think someone in the organization tried to argue for months to Brandon why he was worth 26, and then they finally capitulated. Like two and a half weeks ago. And then they like made it a big deal. Like what took Brandon such a long time to make up his mind? It took you guys 4 months to join the real world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Manhattan John says, can you guys recap the entire Ajax situation? Please. Not sure what's been going on. Yeah, the Niners waited 4 months to do what they could have done in April. End of story.
There we go.
G-Dog says, should have paid Trent right after Sewell got money. Doesn't it seem like the Lions are beating the Niners to the punch in like all of these procedural moves?
Well, they're younger. They're younger. We're two different teams. We got two different masters to serve. Right? Right about now, they're in the honeymoon stage, right? Everything's beautiful. They've been horrible for a really long time. They could do no wrong, right? So right now, they're trying to just solidify their base. And everybody's young and nobody's greedy yet. And they're taking everything with, you know, this is a special team. We were like that. Remember 2019 us? Like, remember how romantic this team used to be about winning and, you know, the revenge tour and reload and nobody does it like us. And we're the best team in the world. Like, we were very romanticized in like the 2019-20 era. But I feel like we've kind of grown up now. Now, you know, shit with the door open, you know, relationships got a little weird now. I mean, the relationship got older, you know.
Thank you for letting us into a brief glimpse into your relationship. David Butler says $2 to say something positive about the Niners. Sheesh. Oh, we will dedicate the next section to you. You're not going to see that one coming. Jody Moore says BA had injury, so no fine when he got cleared. Then he could they could fine. Yeah, his neck and his back hurt both at the same time. Helperman says, are we yard selling players off to get under the cap next year? Our cap looks atrocious in the coming years. We shouldn't be paying everyone like we are. Yeah, we're going to have to see how the Niners maneuver that one. It seems like they're really jeopardizing the future to give themselves the best chance possible this year.
Mm-hmm.
See? Eugene says, Grant, the clinking glass of ice water, taking sips and chewing on ice cubes between hot takes is a flex on par with Fernando Gold. I won't do that anymore. I'm sorry. I don't know why I did that last night. It was uncouth. And I, as you notice, there's no water. There's no ice today. Zero ice.
Chris, I loved your attitude yesterday. You know, the attitude you gave me, like the vibe you gave me yesterday was like, stepbrothers, can you shut up? Just shut your mouth.
Yeah, you know, but you're just making yourself sound stupid. At this point, you just sound stupid.
You just shut your mouth.
I guess I was a little delirious from 4.5 months of talking about him and that it was finally over. It's nice. Chris says, Niners paid Greenlaw early and he was a steal pre-injury. They must hate getting a bargain. Pay Timo now. Hey, who likes a bargain? Othell Miller says, did BA sign it before or after his contract? It matters. Did BA sign it before or after this contract?
It matters.
I don't know.
I don't understand that question.
I don't understand the question either. I'm sorry, Othell.
Sorry about that, Othell.
BA needs a Pro Bowl first team all pro to justify.
Apparently he doesn't.
Gammon Brown says chat needs to wake up to sleeper app and download it. Thank you, Gammon. Debug says, just use your promo code, Grant. Let me get it already. Nobody wants it. I've been watching every live and you still have it. Yeah, but now I'm going to give it away. Dream says, I blame Brandon, not me. We should pick up Sam Hartman and drop Allen. Okay. Manhattan John says maybe BA goes from 3-4 catches a game to 5-6, but when the chips are down, do we really think Kyle won't reach for the CMC? Yeah. Or Debo. Richard Hunt says, Steeler fan here. If the Niners ever kick you out, come to Pittsburgh. Keep crushing. Thank you very much. I appreciate you, Richard Hunt. People from Pittsburgh are just so swell. Super nice. Okay, last
time. They're so wholesome, aren't they?
This is dedicated to the guy who donated $1.99 thinking we couldn't say something positive. All right. For the sake of argument, give me one reason why this particular 49ers team will be the one to finally break through, get over the hump, win the Super Bowl. Just for the sake of argument, if it happens, why will it, what's different about this team? Why will this be, why could this, I keep asking the question in the same way in different ways. So you got it. I use English.
I sort of
express myself.
Yeah, basically. So why is it, say the question again.
If this is the year that the Niners win the Super Bowl, why? Why would, what about this team could push them over the top? What's different about them?
Well, one thing that about this team is that I just talked about is that we are a unique team, but we're unorthodox in a sense that there are some things about us that aren't sound, and that's that Kyle has to relinquish the offense. And I think that from a coaching perspective, we've been thinking about that all these years. You know, does Kyle need to get an offensive coordinator? Kyle needs to get somebody else into the room that he's going to elevate. There needs to be another voice in the room. And the reason why we've always felt that way is because there's never really been any pushback from the other side of the spectrum. But I think there is now, and it's Brock Purdy. I think Brock is going to have to take over the next level of the offense. And that means that Kyle is going to have to start consulting to Brock about what he wants to run with how he feels the offense is going versus Kyle sequencing and designing plays, because most plays, I mean, most teams where they're winning Super Bowls or they're actually in contention, they're not dictating to the quarterback. I mean, Lamar Jackson himself, which is in some eras one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but we all know that Lamar himself had developmental phases in his career where Lamar Jackson himself is calling plays in his offense. He's actually a part of the construction of how the offense is ran on a week in and week out basis. Kyle's got to loosen the grip a little bit, and I think he will. His trust in Brock is going to have to show through this season, and I believe that with the signing of Trent Williams, that's going to come soon. I still believe I'm holding out for Trent the same way I was holding out for BA. I believe that this offense, even though they have not had a full training camp together, the rest is something that's going to help them. The rest is going to be something that's going to help them down the road than it would be having camp. I mean, if you're being honest, they do need a camp, but enough of them have been there. This is a road-weary team, Grant. They've played a lot of games, and maybe this is the type of break that they needed to roll out fresh. I feel like they're going to start fresh. We're going to beat the Jets, and once we get past week six, I do believe the rest of the season is downhill, on top of the fact that as far as the NFC is concerned, there's not a more talented and a more veteran team than us as far as knowing the experience of what it takes to make it through the playoffs and a Super Bowl. So I feel like the added tutelage of Brock Purdy, Kyle Shanahan giving more onus of the offense over to Brock Purdy, and us getting the much needed rest before the season is going to help us be able to pull it over the hump this year.
I love it. That's a great answer. That was really thoughtful. Let me try to. I'm going to give a sincere answer. So
go ahead.
I interviewed Ira Miller this morning, legendary Niners reporter. And I asked him, like, what's your assessment of this team? Like, what do they need to learn from the previous regime? Like, why can't they get over the hump? And it's just like, man, it's all about finishing. Like, this Kyle has had leads in the fourth quarter, in the second half. You need to learn how to finish. You need to have a strategy. And it's like, the way that Walsh finished was you would pass to get a lead and you would run to salt it away.
Close it out.
And it's like, Kyle has great running backs, and like McCaffrey's great, especially early in a game where you want that run pass balance and you want to keep defenses on their heels and build a lead. But like, once you have the lead in the second half and the defense knows you're going to run and what you're trying to do is just use up clock, he hasn't really had an imposing running back that can just sort of like bludgeon the defense when it's tired and win the game for you. Like, Coleman wasn't that guy. Mostert wasn't that guy. McCaffrey isn't that guy.
Jeff Mitchell Wilson, Will Jr. wasn't that guy. And no, he was supposed to be that guy.
No, I really feel like Jordan Mason is so perfect for that role. For a team that gets a lead and is up 10 in the third quarter, it's like, all right, put in Jordan Mason, man. Like, he's going to be the closer. He's going to be the finisher. So I feel like the potential of what he could add to the offense, particularly in the second half when they have a lead, as that guy that you don't want to tackle when you're tired and you're losing. I think that's a whole new element to this offense that could actually help them finish.
I agree with that. And one of the best things about Jordan J.P. Mason is that you don't just have to wait to the end of the game to close him out. What you can do is get him in a position where him just being on the field can help Brock Purdy close out games, right? It's time to start using him as a weapon on this offense as well. Now, if we're being honest, there has been some pushback on getting him on the field because he had to basically climb Mount Turner. He had to get past Coach Turner. You know what I mean? So once he actually gained the trust of Coach Turner, I expect to see Jordan Mason used at a very high clip. And to keep Christian fresh. I mean, those carries got to come from somewhere. We overutilized him last year. The most he's ever been used as far as carries are concerned. And that's got to come from somewhere. And coincidentally, now he's already hurt. So we got to be able to carry. We got to be able to use Christian with kid gloves. And J.P. Mason is going to be one of those ways we do it.
The Niners, since Kyle's been here, they've really had, you know, speedbacks, smaller scat backs. Even McCaffrey's built like a scat back, even though he's a complete back. The addition of Jordan Mason, what he could add to the offense, they haven't anything like it. It's really intriguing to me. A power back who's built like Marshawn Lynch, who doesn't seem to know who Marshawn Lynch was, but runs like him. I mean, wow.
It's amazing, isn't it?
To this team. It's like what they wanted, I don't know, Alfred Morris to be. Like, this is the real deal.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I love Jordan Mason. I mean, I've been stumping for him for years. I think he gives the offense a different element. He actually, I mean, playing offensive line, running back is my favorite position, all right, in football, period. And the reason why is because I just respect the purest form of what the game is about, which is turning around, sticking the ball in somebody's stomach and saying, go forward, right? Run the ball.
Yeah. Make 11 guys miss.
Exactly. And one thing that I love about a back like Jordan Mason is that when I played, I don't have to babysit you to the second level, right? If I give you a seam or if I give you a crease, hey, man, bust the seams out that thing. Go. If you got to run up my back, do it. I don't care. But what I don't want to do is see you get breathed on and you're tripping up in the backfield. Or if we leave you one man to beat, we already know that wherever he touches you is literally where you get tackled. Like with Jordan Mason, there's so many other opportunity runs with him because you never know who he's going to make miss. You never know what gap he's going to blow open just because he's running hard. It's motivating for an offensive line to block for a back like that. I used to love blocking for backs like that. So he's going to be awesome, you know, and he's going to help a weak offensive line. Like, because if the ball's moving and you get a piece of a guy, that's a block. That's a win, right? So I want him to play.
Go back to some of these, like, Kyle Shanahan collapses when he was in Atlanta, the last two Super Bowls, even the NFC Championship game against the Rams. Like, look at the game logs. Mm-hmm. You'll see he's up two scores in the second half, and he'll start series with passes from the shotgun. And then on third and one, he'll be in the shotgun taking sacks. Like, no, dude, no, no, no. Now you got Jordan Mason. Use this new element, this new weapon, how he should be used.
And protect your defense.
Yes. There you go.
Slow that game down.
There it is.
Protect your defense.
Yeah, and don't be so focused on just yards and points. It's at that point in the game, what you're really trying to get is time off the clock. That's the number one goal right there. Official BNM Music 88 says, nice pick in the back, coach. I was a Peppermill Pirate and a Marlboro Mustang. I was the front seven version of Travis Hunter, LOL.
Oh, he's from PG. He's from around my area.
Well, look, that's the end of the show. That's the official coaches meeting. Thank you for attending, everyone. Coach, thank you for being the coach. You were wonderful as always today. This was great.
Love you, Iggy.
Love you too, guys. See you guys.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.